So turn back, if you would, to Luke chapter 10. So we're mostly looking from verse 25 and so on. The famous story, probably one of the most famous of Jesus' stories that he told, the Good Samaritan. It's a teaching, its wisdom contained in it is proverbial, isn't it? And so the Good Samaritan is an English phrase in the English language, isn't it? And even if people might not actually know the story, it's still used by all kinds of people, isn't it? To describe a kind act, generous giving, some sacrificial gesture or something like that. People say, oh, that's a Good Samaritan, aren't they? We use the phrase all over the place. And there'll be moral lessons at school and assemblies and things like that, which will use the illustration of this. And they'll encourage people to be Good Samaritans, to help those in need. And people use it to thank someone. When someone does help someone in need, the person may say, oh, thank you. Oh, you're a Good Samaritan, they'll say. You know, if someone's shopping bag breaks open in the high street and you help to pick that up, they'll say, oh, you're a Good Samaritan, they'll say. All those kind of things. And we even have an organisation, don't we, which exists to help those in desperate need. It'll be a phone call for someone when they're in need of help, and we call it the Samaritan. It's this phrase that's ubiquitous, isn't it? Used everywhere. But what if we're missing the point? What if we're missing the point when we use all of those ways of using the phrase a Good Samaritan? For starters, in our parable, he never is called that. Did you notice? As we read it, he's just called a certain Samaritan in verse 33. He's never called the Good Samaritan. Perhaps we'll double back to that later on. And in fact, you can't really just dive in with this parable, this story that Jesus told. You need to know the question, the context, because Jesus gives the story in answer to a series of questions. You've got to look at those first, haven't you? To realise why Jesus is then telling the story. And, so we'll do that in a minute, and you've got to see as well where Luke puts this story in his gospel and what comes before it and what comes after it. That's why I got Jeff to read from verse 21, which we have done before. But here Jesus is talking about people's names being written in heaven. That's what I mentioned in verse 20. And then verse 21, Jesus rejoices in the Spirit and says, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you've revealed these things. Presumably that your names can be written in heaven in the previous verse. You've hidden these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them to babes. So Jesus rejoices and says of this fact that the Father hides the truth from the wise and prudent and reveals the truth to babes. Some people have the truth hidden from them. To some people, the truth is revealed. Some are proud and arrogant and they think of themselves as wise and prudent and they don't see it. And others who are childlike and humble and listening, the truth is revealed to them. Now, Jesus has just talked of that, states that fact, doesn't he, in verse 21. And then straight afterwards, Luke gives two examples. One we're going to look at this evening, verse 25. And then another one that comes straight after, verse 38. We have one example of someone to whom the truth seems hidden. This lawyer, someone who probably would have been called wise and prudent. And the truth is hidden from him. And then in the following account that Luke gives straight after, there's Mary, who like a child sits at the feet of Jesus and listens. Sacrifices, all kinds of things, that's what they've been doing. They've left God's house. And now they're on their journey to Jericho, and they don't stop. I wonder what people are thinking Jesus is going to do in the story next. And they're thinking, well, that's a bit weird. Jesus is portraying the priest and the Levite as being, well, quite frankly, useless. They don't do anything to help, do they? They just pass on by. And of course, that's the kind of person Jesus is talking to. This lawyer. He's a teacher of the law. He's in the same club as the priest and the Levite. They're all in the same religious hierarchy, the top strata of society that everyone else looked up to. And here Jesus is portraying them as saying, oh, they've got their religion, they've got their ceremonies, they've got their knowledge and their wisdom and their morals. Nah, they've got nothing. They pass on by. They fail in their duty in the law. I'll come on to that later. And then comes who? We know the story. I wonder what people were expecting. Are they hoping for a good, ordinary, jack-of-all-trades Israelite to come along the road? To put the story right, in that sense. To do the right thing that had failed to be done so far. No, Jesus says a certain Samaritan came along the road. And he saw him and had compassion. And he stops and goes to him. And there in the road, he bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine at considerable risk. Now, this is the place where robbers lurk. Now he's there, down on his knees, helping this man. Then he takes the man, puts him on his own animal, horse or donkey or something like that, takes him carefully on the road to an inn, and takes yet more care of him there in the inn, maybe getting the opportunity for some fresh water and things like that to clean him up even more. He stays with him the whole night. Verse 35, the next day he departs, and he takes out 2 denarii and asks the innkeeper to look after him, to take whatever lengths he needs to, leaves him there in this place of safety with someone still to carry on looking after him. And he promises to come back and pay whatever bill there is another time. That's what this Samaritan does. And that's a shocking thing in their culture. It would be like preaching right now in the land of Israel and having a story about the good Palestinian. Or vice versa. Preaching in a church in Palestine about the good Israeli. The kind of thing people would, what? It's sort of stuck in their throat a little bit, thinking, that's not the way we do it. Or would it be a bit like preaching at the, or doing a talk at the Labour conference about the good Conservative? Or vice versa? Would it be a little bit like in our society at the minute of giving a story of a man who was injured in the road and the good immigrant, the good asylum seeker, stopped to take care of him? It's the person Jesus refers to, the Samaritan, someone who is despised, someone who was looked down on, treated with suspicion, thought they were rubbish, they were useless, untrustworthy, the rest of it. Jesus says he's the one. Jesus uses quite a subversive way of sort of turning the tables on things. Taking the stereotypical bad guy and making him the good guy in the story. And note, when Jesus gets to the end and asks the question, which of the three do you think was a neighbour to him who fell among thieves? Notice how the man replies. He who showed mercy on him. He can't even say the word. That's how much he's stuck in his throat. He couldn't reply and say, oh, it was Samaritan. Can't say that. The one who had mercy on him. He who had mercy. And Jesus finishes, go and do likewise. Go and do likewise. Oh, it's taken me a little while to get to my title. But if you want a title for this evening, I'd call it The Bad News of the Good Samaritan. The bad news of the Good Samaritan. Jesus finishes the story and says, go and do likewise. This is what you must do to have eternal life. You just, in inverted commas, need to love your neighbour like the Samaritan did. In fact, you've got to love your enemy. That was true in that case, wasn't it? You've got to love your enemy like the Samaritan did. You've just got to go and do likewise, and you'll have eternal life. You must love every single person you come into contact with on the road as you journey along, every friend you meet, every enemy you meet. every local, every outsider, every acquaintance, every stranger. You must love them like this Samaritan loved this. And that was just one of the commandments. The other commandment was that you must love God every day, every hour, every day, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your might. That's why I've called it the bad news of the Good Samaritan, because we often sort of think of it, oh, this nice little cheerful end of the story. Here's this lovely story about a Samaritan who shows love after those rubbish people who forgot. And there he is, and he shows this lovely way to treat someone. And a little cheerful Jesus says, oh, well, go and do likewise. Come on, everyone. Be a good Boy Scout. Help an old lady across the road. Give a hot cup of coffee to the homeless man. Do that once or twice. Do those kind things that you can sort of put a little sticker on your little chart. And you're all set for heaven. Go out and go do a couple of good deeds like that. See if there's one opportunity this week. You can be a good Samaritan. And you're on your way to heaven. That isn't quite how this story works, is it? When we think about the context, Jesus turns to this two-faced, conniving, arrogant, proud expert and says, go and do it. You who are an expert, you who think you know all the answers, just go and do it. And you will discover you're nothing like the Samaritan. You'll find you do not love your neighbour as yourself. You'll find you do not love God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind. You do not obey his commandments, and therefore you do not have eternal life. It's a story actually that brings quite bad news, doesn't it? When we look at what the Samaritan really did and the standard that this character sets, she says, you've got to go and do this, not just once or twice. You've got to do this all the time. There can never be someone you've left by the roadside, as it were, and headed on. If we take this parable out of Luke's gospel and out of the gospel, we make it a false gospel. And we turn it into this moral little lesson. Just be a good Boy Scout. Just do a couple of good deeds and you're going to heaven. No, it isn't. The story of the Good Samaritan is bad news, actually. It's bad news. We read this story of this fantastic character, and actually we're meant to conclude, I'm not like the Samaritan. I'm not. I don't love people like he did. And certainly, I might do it occasionally, but I certainly don't do it constantly, every minute of every day. And don't even get me started on the commandment that kind of got left, on loving God. With all, 100% of my heart, to love God. 100% of my soul in loving God. 100% of my strength in loving God. 100% of my mind in loving God. I don't do that either. And maybe that's why the Good Samaritan is never called good. Because the truth of God's word is, there is no one good. He's just a certain Samaritan who does a good deed. Jesus doesn't call him a good Samaritan because there is no one good. Maybe even for the Samaritan it was a one-off. Maybe there are plenty of other times this Samaritan, whether he was fictional or whether it was based on a real story that Jesus heard of, I don't know. But there's no one good. No, not one. Romans chapter 3. It's written, there is none righteous. No, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks God. They've all turned aside. They've all together become unprofitable. There is none who does good. No, not one. Their throat is an open tomb. Their tongues practice deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. And the way of peace they have not known. And there is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world become guilty before God. Therefore by the deeds of the law no flesh shall be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Later on in Romans 3 verse 23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And it is interesting. That's the end of the story, isn't it? The man doesn't reply any more to this. And as Paul puts in Romans, the point of the law is that under the law, the mouth is stopped. And there are no more words to say when it just dawns on us that we are not good. We are not righteous. Oh, there is no goodness in us. No, we haven't loved our neighbour as ourselves. No, we haven't loved God with all our heart. This man wanted to talk law. He's the one who starts it. So Jesus shows him the law. And it shows him his sin. And it shows us our sin. The bad news of the Good Samaritan. That here this good deed the Samaritan does, it's shown to us. We're like, no, no, we don't do that. We don't do that constantly. We're meant to be come to silence at the end of it and go, that's it. Do this and you will live. And we don't. We don't have eternal life. We couldn't achieve this every day of every life. We couldn't earn our salvation by doing these things. We couldn't gain eternal life by perfectly obeying this rule, even this one. But there is good news too. For there is one who did. There is one who came and obeyed God's law. There was one person who did love the Lord, his God, with all his heart, with all his soul, with all his strength, with all his mind, 100%. And he did love his neighbour as himself. There was one who never, ever failed. And then we have that in the Bible. Then we have that in Luke. Every single minute that's described for us in the Gospel. Can you ever find Jesus passing by someone in need? Some of the times he was walking along the road and there was someone in need. Did Jesus ever pass by? Did Jesus ever fail to love his neighbour as himself? Not once. Every single day, every minute of every day, he was doing this. He was fulfilling this law. Every minute of every day, he was loving God with all his heart, with all his everything. Every person he met, he loved. Every person he met, he gave everything he could to them. There was one who fulfilled all righteousness. There was one who lived this law and deserved eternal life. Wasn't there? He's the one who loved his neighbour. He was the one who loved his enemies. He loved those who were dead in sin. He loved those who were helpless. He loved them as he loved himself. Actually, he was prepared to give himself, to die himself for them, to lay down his life for them, to give everything he had to give, his very self, his very life. We conclude the story of the Good Samaritan. Oops, I was meant to say that. The Samaritan. And say, no, we're not good. We could never do it. We could never earn eternal life by keeping the law. Not a chance. Not a hope. But it's not. But it's not that we loved God or loved our neighbour. But that he loved us. And gave himself for us. When we meet God, Any claims to have loved? Any claims to have been generous in giving to charity and to help with the food bank and be a, help someone across the road and the rest of it? It's not that we loved God, not that we loved our neighbour. Those things are never going to be enough. Our hope, our faith rests in that he loved us. Our love is nothing to talk about. Our love is nothing to show. His love is the thing we proclaim. His love is the thing we trust. Not that we love God, our neighbor. It's that he loved us and gave himself for us. And so we leave our pride and we leave our arrogance at the door and we leave our good deeds, which are just filthy rags. And we come knowing that no one is righteous, no one is good, no, not me. No, not one. And we come, we're going to come in a minute to the Lord's table, because we've been loved. Because we've been loved by him. And Jesus calls his disciples, that rubbish bunch, with all their failures. On the night he was betrayed, Jesus took them and said, come on, I'm going to share this with you because I love. Not because of anything you've done, no, but I love you. I'm going to give myself for you. And that's what he does for us this evening. We come with no claims, with no pride, with no goodness we can talk about. We come because we've been loved. Loved with everlasting love. And we're trying to learn to love. We're learning of Christ's love. And so we do try to go and do likewise. To love our neighbour, helped by Christ, encouraged by him, we have been loved much, should love too. But it's that side of it. And we come to remember the one who's given everything for us. We were the ones who were helpless and dying beside the road, as it were. He's the one who gave everything for us.